ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯಂ ತಿಲೀಲಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಅನಂದ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದಕಿ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋವ ಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಕುಂಡ ರಾಧಾ ಕುಂಡಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಕಿ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಪುರ್ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಧುರಗುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ದ ಸಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ದ ಸಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ದ ಸಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ All glories, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nidhi Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Prajarini. Narvishesha Shunyavadi. Pashatya Desha Dharini. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಸಂಸಾರ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮಗ್ನಂ ದೀನಂ ಮಾಂ ಕರುಣಾನಿಧೇ ಕರ್ಮಗ್ರಾಹಗೃಹೀತಾಂಗಂ ಮಾಮುದ್ಧರ ಭವಾರ್ಣವಾನ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವದಾಖ್ಯೋಯಂ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷಕೃಷ್ಣಮೇವ ಹಿ ಸ್ವೀಕೃತೋಸಿ ಮಯಾ ನಾಥ ಮುಕ್ತ್ಯರ್ಥಂ ಭವ ಸಾಗರೆ ಮನೋರಥೇ ಮದೀಯೋಯಂ ಸಫಲಾ ಸರ್ವದಾ ತ್ವಯಾ ನಿರ್ವಿಘ್ನೇನೈವ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯಂ ದಾಸೋಹಂ ತವ ಕೇಶವ ಭವೇ ಭವೇ ಯಥಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಪಾದಯೋಸ್ತವ ಜಾಯತೆ ತಥಾ ಕುರುಷ್ವ ದೇವೇಶ ನಾಥಸ್ತ್ವಂ ನೋ ಯದ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವ ಪಾಪ ಪ್ರಣಾಶನಂ ಪ್ರಣಾಮೋ ದುಃಖ ಶಮನಂ ತಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಂ ವರಂ ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಯದೋನ್ವಯಾದಿತರದಶ್ಚಾರ್ತೇಷ್ವಭಿಜ್ಞಸ್ವರಾ ತೇನೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಹೃದಯ ಆದಿ ಗವೈ ಮುಹ್ಯಂತಿ ಯತ್ ಸೂರಯ ತೇಜೋ ವಾರಿಮೃದಂ ಯಥಾ ವಿನಿಮಯೋ ಯತ್ರ ತ್ರಿಸರ್ಗೋ ಮೃಷ ನಾನಾ ಸ್ವೇನ ಸದಾ ನಿರಸ್ತ ಕುಹಕಂ ಸತ್ಯಂ ವರಂ ಧೀಮಹಿ ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋಜಿತ ಕೈದವೋತ್ರ ಪರಮೋ ನಿರ್ಮತ್ಸರಾಣಾಂ ಸದಾ ವೇದ್ಯಂ ವಾಸ್ತವಮತ್ರ ವಸ್ತು ಶಿವದಂ ತಾಪತ್ರಯೋನ್ಮೂಲನಂ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವತೇ ಮಹಾಮುನಿಕೃತೇ ಕಿಂ ವಾ ವರೈರೀಶ್ವರ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಹೃದ್ಯವರುದ್ಯದೇತ್ರ ಕೃತಿಭಿಃ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷುಭಿಃ ತಲ್ಕ್ಷಣಾನ್ ನಿಗಮಕಲ್ಪದರೋರ್ಗಳಿತಂ ಫಲಂ ಶುಗಮುಖಾದಮೃತದ್ರವ ಸಂಯುತಂ ಪಿಬದ ಭಾಗವತಂ ರಸಮಾಲಯಂ ಮುಹುರಹೋ ರಸಿಕಾ ಭುವಿ ಭಾವುಕಾಃ ನಂದರೂಪಾಯ ವಿಶ್ವೋತ್ಪತ್ಯಾದಿ ಹೇತವೇ ತಾಪತ್ರಯ ವಿನಾಶಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಯಂ ನಮಃ ಯಂ ಪ್ರಪ್ರಜಂತಂ ಅನುಭೇದಮವೇದಕೃತ್ಯಂ ದ್ವೈವಾಯನೋ ವಿರಹಕಾತರಮಜ್ಜುಹಾವಾಂ ಪುತ್ರೇದಿ ತನ್ಮಯತಯತ್ತರವೋಭಿನೇದು ತಂ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಹೃದಯಂ ಮುನಿಮಾನದೋಸ್ಮಿ ಯಸ್ವಾನುಭಾವಮಖಿಲ ಶ್ರುತಿಸಾರಮೇಕಂ ಅದ್ಯಾಲ್ಪದೀಪಮದಿತಿತೀರ್ಷದಾಂ ತಮೋನ್ನಂ ಸಂಸಾರಿಣಾಂ ಕರುಣಯಾಃ ಪುರಾಣಗುಹ್ಯಂ ತಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಸೂನುಮುಪಯಾಮಿ ಗುರುಂ ಮುನೀನಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ
దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణూకుణితాదృదాననేందో మమ వాచి విజృంభతా మురారే మధురిన్న కనికాపి కాపి కాపి నమాం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతీ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణీ నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్టశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమ పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేశ మనిషం హృది భావయామి కోమళం పూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాంబురదో మమ మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమ శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమ సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద
Krishna this question about prakriti and purusha in the chapter you can see in the 22nd chapter verses 26 27 28 three verses Uddhava asked a question that to Krishna that this prakriti purusha always exist is it not he said And anyonyavashrayal Krishna drishyadena bhidatayoho. And they are dependent on each other. We mentioned that all yesterday. And Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, this understanding of prakriti and purusha itself is wrong. They don't exist in that way. Separately, there is only purusha. There is only purusha. Vishwamekalmagam pashyan. But to us, it appears as though it is prakriti and purusha. Prakriti and Purusha. Krishna mentions like that. Krishna says that itself is a vikalpam. That itself is a vikalpam. So, and the reason why Krishna said that was in the deep sleep state, Krishna says you are experiencing that. In the deep sleep state, there is no Prakriti and Purusha. Is it not? They are separate. Separately they don't exist in that way like in the waking state and the dream state so therefore all the realized souls confirm that this prakriti purusha vivekam itself which sankhya philosophy supports does not exist because in the deep sleep they are disappearing in the deep sleep it was then that Uddhava asked some question Krishna mentions there ప్రకృతి పురుషశ్చేతి వికల్పం పురుషర్షభ ఏషం వైకారిక సర్గో గుణం విధిగరాత్మక దెన్ ద క్వశ్చన్ కేమ్ అబౌట్ ద బాడీ అండ్ దెన్ కృష్ణ మెన్షన్స్ దేర్ దట్ ది దెన్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది ప్రెసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ నేచర్
Prakriti separates itself into three, which we mentioned that Adhyalpam, Adhibhutam, Adhidevam. Isn't it? Adhyalpam, Adhibhutam, Adhidevam. And also Krishna says that this Adhibhutam is the sense objects, and Adhidevam is the predominating deity of the senses, and Adhyalpam is the senses. Adhyalpam is the senses. And everything in the Prakriti, Krishna says, is broken up into three in this way. That's the point Krishna is making. That this Adhyalpam, Adhibhutam, Adhidevam, in that way, everything is broken up. And they give a list of all that here in the Bhagavatam. Sri Rajarya Swamiji mentions like this, that, take for example, he said, false ego, ahankaram. Ahankaram is broken into three. Ahankaram, garva, rudra. Rudra is the predominating deity. Adhyatmam, adhibhutam, adhidevam. In the similar way, ahankaram, garvam, rudran. Rudra. Rudra is Shiva. Sangrashramurti. His expansion is Shiva. Balaram's expansion is Shiva. So he is a predominating deity, Adhidevam, and Adhyalpam and Adhibhutam is the false ego and the garv. Garva means that Ahankaram is a false ego and the its manifestation is garvam. Garvam. Its manifestation is garvam. For example, when we refer to predominating deity, it is referred to as Rudra, as Shiva. Then the Adhibhutam and Adhyalpam, the two things remaining there. Adhibhutam and Adhyalpam, isn't it? Adhyalpam is the Ahankaram. And Adhibhutam is the Garva, it is called. That's the way it is divided. Again, for example, if you take intelligence has got a predominating deity. Who is that? Brahma. Lord Brahma is the predominating deity. So Adhidevam is Brahma. And Adhyalpam is Buddhi. Buddhi, intelligence, is the Adhyalpam. And Adhibhutam is, what does the Buddhi do? Buddhi does one thing, determination, isn't it? Nischayalpmiya Buddhi, that nischaya. For example, if mind has reflected on many things, a decision is made. By whom? By the intelligence. And the intelligence does that, but the result of that, nischayam, is called nischayalpmiya buddhi. So, buddhi, nischayam, brahma. Three things. Adhyalpam, adhibhutam, adhidevam, in that way. Ahankaram, garvam, rudra. In another way. Three things. Similarly for mind. What does the mind do? Sangalpam. Isn't it? So, mind, sangalpam, moon. Moon is the predominating deity. Like this, everything, Krishna says, has got adhyalpam, adhibhutam, adhidevam. You can make a table in that way. Adhyalpam, adhibhutam, adhidevam exist in everything, Krishna is saying here. For the mind is the adhyalpam, and moon is the adhidevam, and sangalpam is the adhibhutam, in that way. Similarly, chittam, if you take chittam. Chittam has got chittam, smriti, vasudeva. Vasudeva is a predominating deity. Chittam is the adhyalpam, and smriti is adhibhutam. Smriti, in fact, what it is chittam's function is smriti, isn't it? Ahankaram's function is garvam. Mind's function is sangalpam. Buddhi's function is nishchayam,
determination, in other words.
Similarly, all the senses also, nose, function is gandham, smelling. Predominating deity is Ashwini Devas. And tongue's function is rasam, taste. Predominating deity is Varuna. You can see tongue is always in the water. That's why Varuna's presence is that. Jihwa, rasam, Varuna. Is Varuna. Similarly, Shrotram, ear. Function is Shabdam. And predominating deity is Dik. Dik means the directional predominating deities. Dikpalakas, they are called Diks. They are the ones. Then, skin. Function is touch. And Vayu, air, is the predominating deity for the touch. So, like this, it exists in everything. In everything, these three things exist, Krishna is saying. Adhyalpam, Adhibhutam, Adhidhaivam. And without these three, it cannot function. Nothing can function. For example, you can see there, eyes, if you take. Eyes, what does it do? Form. It gives you the form of the object, isn't it? And the predominating deity is sun. Predominating deity is sun. So, when all the three cooperates, that sense can function. That sense will work. Chakshusa means eyes. So, if you don't have the eyes, rupam will not manifest in you. You will not experience that in the mind. And if the form is not there, eyes cannot see anything. Eyes don't have anything to work on. So both are interconnected, in other words. And without the predominating deity of the eye, which is the sun, it will not work. It will not work. So you can see eye, the form, and the sun. Three things, isn't it? Adhyalpam, Adhibhutam, Adhidevam. Sun is Adhidevam there. So, similarly, Adhyalpam, Adhibhutam, Adhidevam, the sense object, the predominating deity, and the sense enjoyment or the action. All three are Adhyalpam, Adhibhutam, Adhidevam, exist in everything. That is what Krishna is saying here. Drugruba markam vaviratra randhre parasparam siddhidiyaswatakhe almaya desham aparoyamadhyam Svayanubhutyagila Siddha Siddhi Evam Tugadi Shravanadi Chakshur Jihwadi Nasadi Chitta Yuktam. Saying like that, Krishna says, so this Trividham means these three separation like this, Adhyalpam, Adhibhutam, Adhidevam. And from this, how we will come back to that one soul? That's the question. Isn't it? Atma Swarupam. How to come out of all these things? Because you are trapped in this, isn't it? In these three states, in everything. Everything is broken into three, and we, the Atma, is experiencing Atma, not directly, it is busy with the mind and this on these different separated existence. So how one will come, because why these three things have come? Because of three gunam, sattvam, rajasa, and tamasa. So he says here, yoso gunakshobhagrutau vikaraha pradhana moolan mahata prasudaha aham trivrunmoha vigalpahedu vaigarigam tamasa maindriyascha. In the 32nd verse, you will see there that so this thing has started because Krishna says here, your false ego also, the original ahankaram, which has gone from mahatattvam, that ahankaram also breaks up into three. You see, the ahankaram inside, first that breaks into three. How? Satya ahankaram, rajas ahankaram, tamas ahankaram. Like that it breaks up into three. From mahatattvam, from prakriti, okay. If you go from Maya, go back into the creation process. In the third canto, Krishna talks about the creation. Shukha Brahmarshi says there that pradhanam mahatattvam ahankaram. That is the process. That from mahatattvam, ahamtattvam comes. Isn't it? Mahatattvam is this from where everything begins. From mahatattvam. And mahatattvam, ahamtattvam comes. Ahamtattvam means ahankaram. Ahankaram comes. And that ahankaram breaks up into three. Sattvikam, rajasam, tamasam. By now, it has broken because of the presence of the inahankaram, the three modes of material nature started working. So when my three modes of material nature, it mixed up with this ego, ahankaram, it breaks into three, sattvikam, rajasam, tamasam. So this ahankaram, Krishna is saying, is the cause of all these differences. Differences means these three existences. Adhyalpam, adhibodham, adhidevam. That is due to the presence of the modes of nature in the ahankaram. When ahankaram is the one that is breaking up, and it is broken up by the three modes of nature. Sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. It breaks up the ahankaram into three. Along with that, all other things are also broken up. Like we said about all the senses, mind, intelligence, ego, everything breaks up into three because of this. When the three modes of material nature mixes up with the ahankaram, it breaks into three. Sattvikam, rajasam, tamasam. When it breaks into three, everything else that has come from the ahankaram, because senses have come from the ahankaram, mind has come from ahankaram, intelligence has come from ahankaram, everything that has come from the ahankaram also breaks up into three. That's what we were talking about. And that is why in everything there is three. Chittam means, Krishna means, chittam means chittam, smriti, vasudeva. And manasa, mind, mind, sangalpam, and moon. Three things, it's broken up. Intelligence, determination, Lord Brahma. And similarly, ahankaram, garvam, rudra. What is the English word for that in the book? What is it, garvam?
It's the same ahankaram.
Yeah, that's a difficulty. Ahankaram, it doesn't say that, I think. Yeah? I don't know what the English word. No, it's not. Yeah, okay, 1 second. Three factors, adhyalpam, represented by the senses such as yai, adhibhudam, such as form, adhideva, influence of the controlling deities. And, okay, it's not mentioned anything about it. No, it's not about that. Hey? Which verse is that? 32. Okay, it doesn't say anything more than that. Okay, so it's okay. If you understand it this way, that intelligence function is nischaya, determination. Yeah, intelligence. Determination, Lord Brahma, deity. Similarly, false ego, its effect on us, that is garva. Intelligence has an effect on us, what is that? Determination, isn't it? Similarly, false ego's determination in us, the impact of false ego, ahankaram in us, is called garva. Whatever that is. You get that. No, it makes you puffed up. That's what it is. It feels that ahankaram develops into it's an effect on us, isn't it? Ahankaram's effect on us is ego. So that ahankaram is ego, its effect is this garva. And then Rudra is the predominating deity. So like this, Sridhara Swami, Sri Rajaji Swamiji mentions everything like that. He breaks them into three. He says, even mind, not only the senses, all the senses we know that it is broken up into three. Sense objects and the predominating deity. In the same way, all of them has broken up. So it was then that this question came up, that how did this happen? Because originally ahankaram is the first one. Ahankaram, isn't it? Ahankaram is the one that has come from mahatattvam. Mahatattvam, from mahatattvam came ahamtattvam. Ahamtattvam is ahankaram. Ahamtattvam is ahankaram. That ahankaram, the predominating deity is Sankarshanam, Balaram. And Balaram's manifestation of this ahankaram personality is Shiva. So therefore Shiva becomes the predominating deity, and Sankarshanamurti, Balaram, is the controller of the Ahamtattvam. And Rudra is the ahankaram's manifestation. It is mentioned Bhagavatam in different places, you will see all these things. That is why in the fifth canto it says Balaram and Shiva are same. Shiva and Lord Balaram are one and the same. That is why Lord Shiva's unique position because of this, compared to all other deities. For example, compared to all other deities like Ganesh, Kartikeya and others, compared to that, Shiva has a very unique position, that he is very much like Krishna's another very close expansion, like Balaram, because Balaram's expansion is Shiva. In the fifth canto, you will notice that Rudra is Balaram. So, because they have come like this, that the three modes of material nature, Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, the three modes, which is nothing but Sri Parvati, she has, in her three forms, she has come and mixed with Shiva. Mixed with Shiva. As a personality, if you talk about it, between Shiva and Parvati. And that, due to that relationship, from there, everything became three. Because she has come in three forms, Sattvam, Rajasa and Tamasa. She got mixed with Ahankaram. So Ahankaram had to split into three. And the result of that is, everything that has come from Ahankaram also split into three. Ahankaram splits into three. And then all the senses, mind, intelligence, everything has come from that Ahankaram, isn't it? Because when Ahankaram splits into three, it becomes Satvikam, Rajasam, Tamasam. And Satvika Ahankaram comes the mind, Rajasa Ahankaram comes the senses, and Tamasa Ahankaram comes the body. That's how it is. You will see that in the third canto, everything is spoken about it, this creation process. So when they break up into three, all of them breaks up in this pattern. Which one? Adhyatmam, Adhibhutam, Adhidevam. That is how that is spoken. How will one come out of that? That question was, Krishna is explaining in the next verse. Alma parijnanamayo vivadam astidi nastidi vidhartha nishtaha vyarthovi naivo parameda pumsam matta paravarta dhyam solokad. Krishna says, Alma parijnanamayam bhavati. First thing, Krishna says about Alma. Alma, Krishna says, doesn't require any of these things. On its own, it is self-illumination. Atma has got that Swayam Prakasha Jnana Swarupam. That it is self-illuminating. That is why we say Sachidanandam, isn't it? Satta Chitta Anandam is Atma's very nature. Without all these things, Atma on its own is self-illumination. Self-illuminating it is. Swayam Prakasha Jnanam. Jnanam. That is its Swarupam. Self-illumination, and it is full of knowledge itself on its own. Without, it doesn't, these things are there, the senses, sense objects and all. Normally you can see we, in our, for the mind to become, acquire knowledge, it requires senses, isn't it? It is through the senses it goes and collects information, knowledge of other things. That's why mind is dependent on the senses and sense objects. And that's how this information comes in, which we generally call as knowledge in this world. Is it not? That's what we call as knowledge. The mind goes out and collects information from the world and puts it in the brain, and brain starts continuously analyzing it. That's all we consider as knowledge. But Alma on its own, Krishna is saying, Alma parijnana maya bhavati. Alma on its own is knowledge. So there's knowledge in Alma. It doesn't require anything to come from outside. Everything else, as far as Alma is concerned, is ajnanam, avidya it is. And if you say, astidi nastidi vivadaha vivartha nishtaha bhavati, because this thing exists, it doesn't exist, this is good, this is bad, all these differences are based on the duality of this creation, Krishna is saying. In a spiritual terms, this creation has no meaning, in spiritual terms. Because in spiritual terms, from the platform of the soul, when you look at it, this matter and the manifestation of the matter and the variegatedness of the matter has no meaning. Do you understand that point? That because, that is what Krishna is saying here, that astiti nastiti vivada vidartha nishtaha. This is all based on the, when things are broken up into three like this, on that basis we started seeing the world. And when you see the world, what happens? You started saying something is good, something is bad, something is nice, something is not so nice. Variations have come like this in Dvaita Prabhancham. That's called Dvaita Prabhancham. Dvaita Prabhancham means Prabhancham, creation that has been split and split and split, continuously getting split, isn't it? Continuously getting split. You can see that effect in everything. And so because these differences, Krishna says, that is Maya. That is Maya. And ahankaram, false ego, all of that, if it is affected by this Maya, illusion, then what do we do? How to come out of that? Sulogat mattaha paravurta diyam pumsam vyarthobi saha naivam uparameta. That, although all these things, which means ahankaram, chittam, mind, intelligence, all the senses, everything, for those who have, whose attention is not, Shraddha is not on the soul, for those whose Shraddha is not on the soul, but it has gone into the world in this way, for them, for them it's a false thing. Suppose your all attention has fallen on the soul and you have completely realized as Atma, you have realized yourself as Atma, as the soul, then all these things in the creation is mithya, false it is, isn't it? Because you are touching the real thing inside, Atma. You have become that, Atma. And identification with the matter has completely gone, completely gone. And but still, even then, ahankaram, false ego, will not go. You may come out of all the other identifications, but false ego still remains, and that is in the form of jivatvam. I am leaving jiva, I am jiva. That will go. So, and that is why the knowledge is necessary to wipe that jiva bhavam from inside. The position as jiva. That jiva is a false identity, it's not a real one. But unfortunately, it is very difficult to get rid of that, the jivatvam from inside. We'll come to that later, because Krishna is explaining it in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita better, that thing. You have to go back to 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita to understand that, what Krishna is saying here. Because in 7th chapter, that is why 7th chapter is important in the Bhagavad Gita. It is in 7th chapter Krishna says, jiva's nature is para-prakriti, not abhara-prakriti. Isn't it? So there itself you can understand that when we say jiva's nature is para-prakriti, what it means is, what is jivam, jiva? That question will come. Isn't it? What is jiva? Jiva is not a real thing. You feel jiva when there is a hangaram inside. When Ahankaram is gone, there is no jiva then anymore. It's Atma. Then it is Atma, Brahmam. Aham Brahmasmi then, not Aham Jivasmi anymore. At the moment is Aham Jivasmi, isn't it? But this jivatvam or this existence as jiva is due to the Ahankaram inside. And that wiping out Ahankaram from inside, Krishna is saying, yesterday we were discussing that also, that the Uddhava says to Krishna that in the Sankhyam, Sankhya Siddhantam, this question comes, does the world exist or not? Or this knowledge is the truth? All these things, nobody can get an answer for all these questions by logic. By logic you can't get an answer. And Krishna is saying here in this verse, if you look into the verse 33, he's saying there that vyarthobi, use vyartham. Vyartham means waste of time. Don't waste your time, he's saying. Krishna is saying, answering like that. He's saying vyarthobi. Vyarthobi means that although it is waste of time, Krishna says anybody can understand that you will not be able to find an answer to this question by logic. Through logic you can't find an answer. But you can keep on arguing for the rest of the life about it. So when will it come to an end? Krishna says, when you have realized the self, what you are, as you are, in your real identity as the self, as soul, spirit soul, or when you have the experience of Atma, self inside, then he will stop arguing. Up to that point, you will continue to argue. Is the world real or not real? How will you answer? Logic can't say this anything, cannot give you an answer, whether the world is real or not real. That is what Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying, till you realize the self, this question will remain, whether the world is real or not real. So Uddhava asked this question at that time, that this experience of the soul is happening in the Prakriti. You are still in the Prakriti, isn't it? In the material nature. We are present now in the material nature. And it is in the material nature, this Prakriti, experience of the Prakriti still. Just like, suppose you have a huge earthen pot and you made a hole in that earthen pot. And somebody asked, where is the sky? So you say to them, look through that hole, you will see the sky. But in reality, the pot is inside the sky, isn't it? So similarly, sky means space. That's what you're talking about. Similarly, I'm seeing this body, and in this body, I'm seeing this body and I'm saying, I have an experience, I am this body, I am, limiting to this body. See that comparison. When you are looking through, although space is everywhere, but to make somebody understand, we have a huge earthen pot and there's a hole through that. So when he asked where is the space, we say, you look through that hole and there you see what he's seeing is the space. But actually this whole earth pot is in the space, is in the space. Similarly, Atma is everywhere. But somehow we have taken for granted Atma is inside this body. Isn't it? We take everyone day, there's Atma inside, we say. Atma is inside this body. But Atma is outside also. That we don't take into account. We only take into account Atma who is present inside this body. Similarly, this is what Atma we say. But in reality, the earthen pot is in the space, in the pot in the space. Inside and outside, there is space, all over. So this pot, this earthen pot, in the space, it's only a kalpana. Kalpana means it's only a imagination. Space is the reality, pot is not the reality. Imagination it is. But in our experience, we take pot as reality, isn't it? So, similarly, till we know this Atma inside us, till we know about this Atma inside us, Prakriti, we have to take it that is only present there. Once you have known that inside, it's not only once you have realized the Atma inside, Krishna is saying here that you have to do it in this way only. Which way? To point out where is Atma? Atma is inside. Atma is inside. Till you realize the self. Once you realize the self, you will know Atma like the space exists. Body is like the pot, earthen pot. Because body, like the earthen pot, will one day break and drop off. Body will also break up and drop away. Atma will remain. So that is an example between, that's what Krishna is saying there. Virthobi naivam uvrameda pumsam matta paravarta diyam sulokar Atma parijnanamayo vivadaha asti nasti di vivada nishta. It exists, don't exist. All these arguments will come to an end with this realization of the self inside. But for the moment, we have to realize the self inside. Once you have realized the self inside, then this body, and body is a limitation. And we are not limited. We are not limited, isn't it? That is what that Sukadeva Goswami's definition. Tam sarvabhuta hridayam. He is not limited to that body. Shukabrahmarshi is not only that body, what we see in the Bhagavatam. That is why he accepted that body at the time when he wanted, and he will leave the body when he wants to leave the body. That's all. It's not like us, that our body takes birth one day and it dies one day. His body is not like that. You will see all the Navayogis also, when they came from the sky to meet King Nimi, they all appeared from the sky, and they are very clearly, Bhagavatam says, Avyaha Deshtagadaya Surasadda Sadhya Gandharva Yaksha Naraginnara Nagalogan. They can travel to any planet and take the body what they want to suit that planet. When they are with the Vidyadharas, they will have Vidyadharas' body. When they are in the human world, they will have a human body. So like that, they could change, the accept the body and leave the body whichever they wanted. That is their space travel. they don't have so many space suits to go to every planet, separate suits. It's different, isn't it? So here, this sabdam, in outside it is coming in these five senses in the body. Sound, touch, smell, taste and form. Shabdasparsha, rupa, rasa, gandham. These five things. Inside it is mind, intelligence, ego. Inside. Outside it is the five senses. So all these eight, Krishna says, all these eight things, which one? Earth, water, air, ether and fire, which is shabdasparsha, rupa, rasa, gandham. And mind, intelligence and false ego. 5 plus 3, 8. All of them is supported by a living force, and that is called a jiva. Isn't it? If you look into the 7th chapter, Krishna explains there, Aparayam itastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva budap. Mahabaho yayedam dharide jagat. That is how Krishna puts it. Yayedam dharide jagat. That jiva bhudam, which that means it has become jiva bhudam, which one? Paraprakriti has become jiva bhudam. You see, paraprakriti has become jiva bhudam. Everything else is aparaprakriti. Only jiva bhudam is paraprakriti. Other things are all aparaprakriti. Krishna says there, isn't it? Bhumi rapanalo vayu kham mano buddhi revaja ahangara idi yame bhinna prakriti ashtada. The first one, eight things. That is ashtada prakriti or apara prakriti. Inferior nature of the prakriti. Then Krishna says, apareyam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime Param Jiva Bhudam. Jiva Bhudam is Para Prakriti Mahabaho Yedam Dharyate Jagat, that supports the Apara Prakriti made of these eight components. So that was spoken there like that in the Bhagavad Gita to make it easier for us to understand that it is, that is the way it is done. But here Krishna is saying that Jivalma, what is inside, actually it is Paraprakriti. Actually it is Paraprakriti. And that in the body, first you have to experience that, inside this body, or realize the self first. And after that, but when you say like that, when you say that you have to realize the self within, people can relate with that. Is it not? Suppose somebody tells you, you have to realize the self in the creation, it will become very difficult. Even realizing in the body itself is difficult. Even this seems to be so complicated, realizing within the body. But people can relate with this to some extent, because the reason is, body is moving. Body is doing different things. And Shastram is telling us that there is a living force inside. Therefore, it makes it easier to relate with the body. But instead of the body, if you say that, oh, you realize the absolute truth in the creation, somebody says to you, it will be very difficult. Is it not? That is why it is spoken like that. In that 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke like this for this reason. First realize here, begin with. When you realize that, you will know, that is when Krishna is saying also later on, that this realization inside, you will know that same vastu is in everyone. Later you will realize that. As soon as you realize this, you will realize that it is the same vastu everywhere. And then you know everywhere only that vastu exists, nothing else exists. Body is like that earthen pot. It will drop, go. Then what happens to the identity? So that is why. So it mentions like this. And convenience sakes, they also told that in the body, it is on the right hand side. Not this mechanical heart, but on the right hand side. And in the yogis, they say, they have their kundalini shakti. It comes from muladharam, from the lowermost part of the spine, where muladharam they call it. From there it comes through different chakram, isn't it? Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam, Anahatam, Vishuddhi, Ajna, and then Sahasraram at the top. And so Patanjali system, to realize that Atma inside, they followed this process, that everything within the body. That is how Patanjali has built it up. Patanjali has built it up that way. Everything within the body, he has built it up. So in its journey, thank you. So that Kundalini Shakti, yogis, what they call. Kundalini. That Kundalini comes through Mooladharam and all the other different chakram, and all its journey is inside the body. All its journey is inside the body. And its realization, when it goes through the body, it is experienced in the heart. Experienced in the heart. And then, or in the jnanis will say they are experienced in the heart, yogis will say it has experienced in the head. Experienced in the head. If you look at it this way, Patanjali mentions this, that when the Alma in its journey, Mula Kundalini, Kundalini is the Alma's presence in the body, Pranan in other words. Kundalini moves up all the chakram and it comes to the top and then comes back and joins in the heart. Comes back and joins in the heart here. So that is why he mentions here that although it reaches up to Sahasraram, which is the topmost point, comes back and joins again here. Again joins here. So as long as we are lodged in the body, it makes sense to us. That is why it is spoken in that way in the 7th chapter, Bhagavad Gita. It is spoken like that. Therefore, first thing they say that Purusha is experienced inside Prakriti. That was Uddhava's question. Remember, Uddhava says Purusha is experienced inside Prakriti. So, here also you can see Purusha is experienced as a small particle inside Prakriti. And when you know Purusha or the living force, Chaitanyam inside, how does we experience that living force inside? First time, the experience of that living force inside is aham, that awareness, isn't it? That is only way to know about the presence of the soul inside, through this awareness, which we have discussed many times before. In Shastram they call it as aham padartham, or in other words, in the form of my existence, astitvam, awareness, bodham, consciousness. And all this is words for that. Consciousness is the presence of that aham inside, of the presence of the soul inside. Remaining thing, everything else is prakriti. Everything else is prakriti. That means everything that makes sense, sensible thing, is all prakriti. In other words, all sensation comes from prakriti. You see? All sensation comes from prakriti. For example, perception, feeling, thought, that's all prakriti. That's all prakriti. Personality, prakriti. Everything else is prakriti. Because personality, when personality joins with Atma, that is what jiva. Is it not? When personality joins Atma, Atma, when it is given a personality, it has become jiva. It has become jiva. So everything you can see, and all these things make sense to us. See the fun. All these things make sense to us. Which one? All these perception, feeling, thinking, and personality, all these things make sense to us. That's why our nature is always to move towards avaraprakriti. Because avaraprakriti is what is sensible for us. Because it is senses can handle that. Senses can't handle Atma. Senses cannot handle Atma. So therefore we have a problem there. That is why we don't want in that direction, we go in the other direction. So all of them is prakriti, not Chaitanyam. And including the living pranan, energy, and the mind, and the pride, ahankaram, all of them is prakriti, and I am also prakriti, because my ego is me, isn't it? So when I am saying me, everything, or I am, all that is prakriti. It is in relationship with prakriti. So if you reject all these things, if you reject all these things, everything, thinking, feeling, willing, personality, and ego, prana, and mind, everything if you reject, what remains then? Which you cannot reject because that's what you are. That's what you are. You cannot reject that. That is what Krishna is saying here. Alma parijnanamayo vivadaha asti dinasti dividhartha nishtaha virthobi naivo ubramedha pumsam matta paravartadhyam sulogad. Then you cannot reject that thing because that's what you are. This is the way Vedantam says about us. Everything you have to reject. Are you the mind? No. Are you the intelligence? No. Are you the ego? No. Are you the pranan? No. Are you the perception? No. Are you the feeling? No. Are you the thought? No. None of them. None of them you are. That's all prakriti. So, that vastu, what remains, if you reject all these things, what is left then? What is called as consciousness. Consciousness is separate from all these things. And that consciousness, what they call it as? Astitvam. Astitvam. Astitvam it is called. Avabhodham. Or prajna. And you have come to know that. That's what you are. So this separation has to happen inside. I'm not this body. I'm not this mind. I'm not this intelligence. I'm not this ego. So just like we have identified with the body, we have identified with the mind also. And with intelligence also. Ego also. All that identification has to go. All that identification has to go. So if this realization has come, that I am that awareness, I am that bodham, aham brahmasmi, and then you are in that state of aham brahmasmi. And in other words, what it says is that at that stage, your vision has become very subtle. You have come to a very subtle state of vision. First of all, when you look through the prakriti, you saw the living force, is it not? First, how did you see about the soul? You look through the prakriti, which is the body, mind, intelligence. That is how we started everything. Isn't it? When we started, we are saying there is a soul in the body. Everyone has a soul. When we say everyone has a soul, what it means is, I'm the body, but I got a soul inside. That's how it started. But finally, what has happened? Everything has gone, I am only soul. That has come to that understanding. So, and when you get to know that soul closely, what will happen is, just like in the screen, the cinema, that relationship will come. That means this prakriti or this material body or the intelligence, ego, senses, all these things is just like that cinema that is going on the screen, or prakriti that is working on the soul. Prakriti that is, if the screen is not there, cinema is not there. And similarly, if Alma is not there, all these things don't exist. Prakriti doesn't exist. So prakriti is the cinema, Purusha is the screen. Alma is the screen. That's where it is happening. And therefore it is called the living for the screen. Alma is called Adhishtanam. It's called Adhishtanam. Adhishtanam. In Adhishtanam, that is where this prakriti is remaining. Prakrito lakshito hi alma, prakritischa tatha almani. Prakriti is completely like a picture that has been drawn on the canvas, and that canvas is alma. Canvas is alma. When we start seeing it like that, only then this verse will make any sense to us, to you. Or to us, this verse, what Krishna has spoken now, it will only make sense when you start seeing, experiencing this. That means after self-realization, all these things will happen. If not, we will remain in the first step. We'll remain in the first step. And this is called in Vedantam, they call it as Tvam Padartha Shodhanam. Tvam Padartha Shodhanam. That means you are in the body. You are in the body. And the yogis, all the siddhas, they are all in that state. All of them, I say, inside the body, Krishna is present. Inside the body, Atma is present. And in other words, what it means is, body is important and the one Atma who is inside is not important. That's the way at the moment it is, isn't it? So, because this experience is happening inside the body, that is Uddhava's question. Uddhava's question also is that, we say that Purusha and Prakriti is separate, but then Purusha is lodged inside Prakriti. Purusha is lodged inside Prakriti. And this feeling that Atma is inside the body is Maya. That's what Krishna is saying. See how difficult it is? All of us are all the time thinking, my soul, it's inside me, somewhere here, Pip Shastram says. Everybody says like that, isn't it? Atma, Atma, I am that soul. Even when we say Aham Brahmasmi, we are still thinking it is inside the body. That's the funniest thing. When we say Aham Brahmasmi, you are also still thinking is that Atma is somewhere around inside. We don't know where he is, but he is there somewhere. That's how you are thinking about it, isn't it? What Krishna is saying, that in the beginning you need that, like in the 7th chapter, when Krishna spoke about this, but there he put a string attached to that. He said that he, this Jiva, is not Aparaprakriti, it's Paraprakriti, he said. Jivabhudam mahabaho aparayam idastanyam prakritim vidhime param, he said. Param. He is Paraprakriti, not Aparaprakriti. There itself Krishna made it very clear. And Aparaprakriti cannot be lodged into Aparaprakriti. It appears as though it is lodged inside this body. And therefore, Krishna is saying here that this understanding is Maya. That understanding is Maya. And once you have realized this, that he is not lodged there anymore, inside the body, he is everywhere, that is where he is, everywhere. It is the body that is going to drop off. That will come when you realize, when you have studied Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and accepted Krishna's explanations to everything. And if you have that has become your realization, then what will happen? Then you know that body is going to drop and go one day. You are not the body, isn't it? And that realization will come. So, but Krishna is saying that the Maya completely goes. So people ask this question: when will I get freed from Maya? If you ask the question, this is the answer. That when you realize that you are not lodged within this body only, you are not that vastu, that substance which is lodged within the body. If that understanding or realization has gone away from us inside, you can say you are freed from Maya. Tam sarvabhuda hridayam munimanatosmi. Sarvabhuda hridayam. Shuka Brahmarshi state, isn't it? No more. Sri Brahmarshi said in one way, Jadabharata spoke in a different way. If you look into the fourth canto, you will see how he spoke. He says to Rahugana, that you say that you will beat me and you will teach me a lesson. I have already beaten that body enough. He says, and you are going to beat it again, Pishta Peshanam, he says. The word used is Pishta Peshanam. Pishta Peshanam means something that has been ground and made into powder. You are again going to grind it further, he is saying. About his own body, he is saying this. I have already ground it and made a complete, completely destroyed it, that body. As far as I am concerned, it doesn't exist anymore. And you want to grind it further, and you say you are going to punish me by beating that body, he is asking. See how that degree of realization of Jadabharata. Jadabharata is staying in that state and speaking to him. You will see in that verse, Pishtaveshanam, it's called. So, therefore, so in spite of that, even though body is, Atma is inside the body, as we accept it now, as we realize it now, in our present state of realization, I'm saying, Atma is inside the body, isn't it? Even though inside that, still it is possible, Krishna is saying, even in this state, to have an experience of that soul, experience of that soul, and that shanti, and also the meditation from that. Atma anubhavam, yoga anubhavam, that is what it's called, experience of the Atma, experience of that yoga process, all these things can still happen. Even though your understanding is wrong, you have not come to that state of overall presence, only inside the body, but even there, this can happen. So initially, Uddhava asked this question, Purusha is inside the Prakriti, isn't it? Uddhava asked that question. Then he said that, is not the Prakriti standing in the Purusha? Prakriti standing in the Purusha. Just like, remember this question came up with Ravana Maharshi also said the same thing, that without she, there is no he. One person says to him, and you know, this is interesting, that there are people called Shaktayas who worship Shakti, Durga Devi, devotees, who worships Durga, Shakti. Yeah? So for them, she is important, because it is she, isn't it? Like this, of course, in the West, that argument problem is not there. It's only he, God. But in India, there is also she. There is a very big people, number of people who consider God is she, not he. And so there, she is also God, not only he. So they say to Ramana Maharshi, they ask this question, that in she, he is there, isn't it? Ramana Maharshi said, in she, S-H-E, H-E is there, isn't it? In she, he is there. So, Maharshi said like this, that he can stand on his own. She cannot stand on its own. He said, she won't stand on its own. He, without he, she can't stand, but he can stand on his own. This was his answer to that. So, Shaktayas, they are called Shaktayas, who worship Shakti. Shaktayas are big, like Vaishnavam, Shaivam, Shaktayam, Sauram, Ganapatyam, Kaumaram, the six different forms worshipped. They all have huge following. You know that only one has God. If you go to Maharashtra, it's all Ganapatyam. If you go to Bengal, it is all Shaktayam there. And Shaivam, Vaishnavam exist everywhere, to some degree or the other. Sauram exists to some extent. So Shaktayam, Vaishnavam, Ganapatyam, Kaumaram. Kaumaram exists in Tamil Nadu in a big way. And Sauram, like these six different worship of different forms exist. And Shaktayam, that is Shakti, who worships Devi, Sri Parvati, their contention is that she is the truth, absolute truth. And they say that in she, he is also there. He is also. So Ramamashi said he can stand on his own. She cannot stay without he. That's the way he has explained that. So, so Purusha can stay on his own. Prakriti cannot stay on its own. So that is why they say ultimately Prakriti is disappearing. Prakriti disappears in us. That's what happens. In our Swarupam, which is spiritual, our Purusha, Swarupam is Purusha, isn't it? In there, Prakriti disappears. Prakriti disappears. So Uddhava is asking this question, that Prakriti is experienced in Purusha, isn't it? For example, Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. That means sound, touch, smell, taste and form. All of that, plus mind, intelligence, ego, everything is belongs to Prakriti, and that is experienced in the Purusha, in the Purusha. So Navarasa Mahatandavam. The Samadhi Sthita yogis who are situated in the Samadhi state, they see all these things who are in the samadhi states, the yogis, who are in the states, that all of them is happening in the pure, in the background of pure Chaitanya, living force. And they see, yogis can see this, yogis, they can see this, that from that living force, Chaitanyam inside, an unusual power that comes out, unusual power that comes out, and that is called what they call as the mind. What they call as the mind. It's called the mind, isn't it? Mind is called that Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti in other words. And it is the power of that mind which comes, the flow of that mind that comes from that Chit Shakti. mind is not able to talk about that Chit Shakti as a special vastu, special observer. And that wakes up from inside that mind, then it turns into intelligence, then it keeps getting segregated. It keeps getting segregated. Somewhere in the, I think it is in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada mentions this in the, I don't know which chapter it is, probably it is in the 7th chapter. He says that Chit Shakti's origin, seventh chapter, I think it is in the 7th, or it is in the 6th chapter, I don't know. Somewhere he says the Chit Shakti's origin, Krishna Prabhupada says in the purport. I'll find out. Yeah, it's in the sixth chapter. You remember verse 20 to 23, that famous verses. In the purport, Prabhupada mentions that. In the second paragraph, 20 to 23, three verses. Yatra ubaramade chittam niruddham yoga sevaya. Yatra chayva altman altmanam pashyan altmani tushyati. Sukham atyandiyam yatat buddhigrahyam atindriyam. Veti yatrana chaivayam sthitas chalati tatvada yam labdhva chaparam labham anyade nadhigam tatha yasmin sthitona dukhena guru nabhi vichayalede tam vidya dukkha samyogam vyogam yoga samhidam. In the purport, if you look in the second paragraph, this chit shakti, Krishna says, Prabhupada says, or internal potency is transcendental. That is chit shakti. Chit shakti is our knowledge of the soul. Knowledge of the soul's knowledge is called, knowledge power is called that Chit Shakti, and is transcendental. Purushartha means material, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and at the end the attempt to become one with the Supreme Bliss. This oneness with the Supreme is called Kaivalyam by the monist. By the monist. According to Patanjali, this Kaivalyam is an internal or transcendental potency by which the living entity becomes aware of this of his constitutional position. Anyway, if you understand this much, that Chit Shakti is the origin of the mind. Mind takes birth there. But mind cannot talk about Chit Shakti. That is its inability. It doesn't have the capacity to say what Chit Shakti is. Mind has not got the capacity. But mind has then, from that Shakti, Chit Shakti which has come, turns into mind. And then it turns into intelligence, ego, intelligence, manasa, buddhi, ahangaram, chitam. All those four things, it manifests in four forms. Power is one, but manifests in four different forms. When it manifests in four forms, different forms, we call it as the subtle body. We call it as the subtle body. In there, our previous vasanas joins the chitam. All the vasanas are in the chitam. So here, if you look, you will see here, segregation starts there. Segregation. Minus buddhi, ahangaram, chittam. So if you tell people about mind, people like that, mind, isn't it? So most of the people don't want to talk about chit shakti. If you say chit shakti, they feel a little bit sour. They don't want to know what this chit shakti means. If you say mind, they say yeah. Mind has come from that chit shakti, that they don't know, and they won't accept it also. So instead of what they have done, instead of Krishna is that chit shakti. Krishna's potency is that chit shakti, isn't it? Satta, chitta, anandam, that is Krishna's potency. So they don't want to talk about that, and therefore what we say is they don't want to say anything about the chit shakti. But then with the mind they want to make everything. You can see all the courses, seminars are all centered around the mind, isn't it? They tell you that we have to make the mind very strong mind. And also they make you, if you look into all these Bhagavad Gita courses advertised, they will say it'll give you a good strength of mind, it'll give you a good intelligence to make the right management decisions and things like rubbish, all kinds of rubbish they come out with that. So, and the glory of the mind and strength of the mind and things like that. But actually mind has no strength. Mind has no strength, practically. And there is a thing called mind itself doesn't exist. What exists is this only. One who has realized the truth, for him mind doesn't exist. And mind is actually, you can see here, that is a force that has come from the chit shakti. It's chit shakti, that's what exists. One of the attributes of the soul, that is what exists, isn't it? The soul is what exists. It's from there a force has come, which is called the mind. In other words, it is one of Krishna's manifestations, is this mind in one form. Actually, Krishna, reality is, what does Krishna mean? Krishna means Satya Chitta Ananda, isn't it? Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachid Ananda Vigraham. Satya Chitta Anandam is Krishna. And from that Chit Shakti, one energy has come, which we don't know what it is, and that is called this mind, which makes everyone crazy. That is this thing called mind. And that mind is not a real thing. It's not a real thing, because you can see it changes, and all problems it creates, in the mind creates. And if you recognize this thing called mind exists, then you will get stuck in that. You'll get stuck in that. So that is why, till you know that chit shakti, till you realize that self, soul inside, all these differences exist. All these differences exist because of the mind. Mind created this problem. Chit shakti didn't create this problem. But this power called mind, that is what has created this segregation. Segregation means, for example, you can see that science segregates everything, isn't it? Science segregates everything. It has segregated everything, including the body, it has segregated into different parts. Whole thing is together, but we say inside the body we have broken it into pieces. This is liver, this is kidney, this is intestine, and this is the heart, this is the lungs. And now what has happened because of segregation? Because of segregation we say this is one department, that's another, ENT, they say there's one department. Then there is one cardiology department, and then there is another department related to related to their liver department and intestine department, and so many departments. Segregation, segregation, segregation. But when you look at the body, it's all together one unit, isn't it? Kidney doesn't say, look, I am a part of your body, doesn't tell us. Kidney is our body, isn't it? Liver is our body. So the segregation has come like this in the body. Similarly, what the science has done is, it kept on breaking up everything else also. It has broken up into molecules and atoms and protons and electrons and neutrons and like that. It goes like that. And they are trying to break that again and see if further we can. They are thinking that if you keep on breaking, you'll get the answer finally. So that is why it mentions like that. And in a similar way, science has broken. In the same thing, Uddhava also mentions here, whether it is 10 or 14 or 15 or 17 or 18, all these things, a lot of numbers, that's all, isn't it? Like the rishis are broken up also in the same way. Nine different things. Who likes it, you know? Accountants like it. Accountants, they like the numbers, isn't it? They like the number, these accountants people, they like the accountant. So even when they go to the Vaikuntham, they will be like the accountants only. After going to Vaikuntha also, planet, they will be like the accountants, because you can't do anything, they have become like that by breaking up, numbers, they like numbers. So they like to see everything through numbers. Body also they want to see through numbers. And similarly, Prakriti also, they want to study through numbers. Everything through number. So till we realize the self, Krishna is saying here, that everything is separate. Everything is separate. Krishna's point is that this separated way of seeing things, Krishna says, body is different, prana is different, mind is different, intelligence is different, ego is different, everything is different. And in the body, that is the subtle body I'm talking about, then if you look into the gross body, you can say liver, heart, intestines, lungs, and so many other things, so many things, and name, different names you have given to that, and a specialist for every one of them. And medicine says we have gone very far, very ahead of us. So, more you can make, expand it. And when you go walk into hospital now, where to go? Which department to go? You get confused with the amount of separations they have made with the body. So, as many names as possible they have created from this one body. So, we are thinking that if you give a name to it, a specialist name for that, oh, it's something, another step we have made, progress. We think like that, isn't it? So, often what happens is, instead of that new name you have given, instead of that name helping you to understand the vastu inside, instead the new name breaks us our connection with the vastu. Instead of making it easy to understand the problem of the body, when they give a new name like this, it makes it more difficult to understand. You can see when the doctors write their report and you read through it after you had some operation or any experience like that in the hospital, they will use so many words, and it will and you start thinking, what's all this written about the body? And nothing has changed in the body. The disease is still there. It hasn't gone. But they have written a report with hundreds of technical words in that. And then you see, you won't understand anything. What can you do? So writing about your body, they are writing all this. And sometimes you get impressed by that, isn't it? Oh, it's written all these things. And to understand what they have written, you have to go to somebody else asking about it, what has been written in that report. This is, Krishna is saying all this is nonsense, because ultimately this is lump and matter, the whole thing is. And it is joined up together with so many other things, and all that is working, whether it's kidney, whether it's liver, whether it's intestines, whether it is lungs, whatever it is, it's all working, because behind that Chaitanyam, Chit Shakti, Atma is present. Otherwise none of them can do anything, they are just lump of matter. That is why Krishna is saying here that so many things he says, you keep on separating his mind, intelligence, ego. And rishis are saying to us, who are much more subtle in all these things, they are saying to us, there is no ego, there is no mind, there is no intelligence, nothing. When you had ahankaram in the ego, when the power of ahankaram, false ego, came about in the Atma, when the false ego came up, ahankaram was born. And when that power that came from the Chit Shakti, When the power that came in the Chit Shakti, when it turned into, when it wanted to feel proud about something, it became Ahankaram. When it wanted to discriminate something, it became intelligence. When it wanted to imagine something, it became the mind. For Sankalpam purpose, that same Chit Shakti has become mind. For decision making, that same power has become intelligence. For the sake of feeling proud about something, abhimanam, for that purpose it has become ahankaram. And so you can see that one vastu, and Rishi's answer is like this. Rishis are saying here, when that vastu inside, when it wanted to see, when it felt that it wants to see something, it became the eye. It became the eye. When it wanted to hear something, it became the ears. When it wanted to smell something, it became the nose. It became the nose. That's only, vastu is only one. All, everything is Atma, soul. And if soul is not there, there is no nose, there is no ears, there is no eyes, there is no heart, there is no lungs, there is no intestine, there is no liver, there is no, nothing exists. Only when he is there, all these things are happening in the body, isn't it? Even seeing also, listening also, and hear, smelling also, everything when he is there. And when did they start working? When he inside, when he desired to feel, to see something, he came through the eyes and started seeing. When he wanted to smell something, it came through the nose and started smelling. Atma. So that is Rishi's point. Rishi's point is only he is the reality. None of them are not real. Remaining things are not real. But for us, he is not real. Everything else is real. In science, he is not real, but everything else is real. Is it not? That's how science is broken up. And science keep on saying this, different branches and different explanations to it, different names also, but never sees the truth behind all these things. He who is inside. Who is inside. So, that is why, as mentions there, that it comes from that Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti is the one, that is Satya Chitta Anandam. That Chit Shakti is the source of all these things. And he mentions, like, that is why in Lalidasa Swami it will say Chit Agni, it's called Chit Agni. Chit Agni Kunda Sambodha Devakari Samudhyama. It says like that. Chit Shakti Chetana Rupam Jada Shakti Jadalmiya. Says like that in the Lalidasa Swami. It's a mantra, it is. Chit Shakti inside is Chetana Rupam. She is Chetana, consciousness. Jada Shakti, Jadalmiya. This Jada Shakti, what you have, is Jadalmiya, is the Jada Shakti of the Almiyam. So, if you remove this Chit Shakti, then what remains is Jada Shakti. What remains is Jada Shakti. Jada means dead matter. Dead matter. Jada Shakti, Jadalmiya. So, what Krishna is saying here is, that if you remove that chit, what remains is jadam. And when it is jadam, when it has become jadam, then you start making it into, breaking them up into different, what scientists are doing is that jada shakti or jadam, they are breaking up into different elements and different names they have given to that. In psychiatry, psychology, this, that, every other breaking up process is coming from that. And that has changed into mind and sky and then air, fire, water and earth. It's all that Shakti, Jada Shakti has changed into in different forms. In reality, these five elements don't exist. When it broke up, it became these five elements. Which one? This Shakti, Jada Shakti. It is a Jada Shakti that has broken up, because breaking up happens in the Jada Shakti. In Chit Shakti, Chit Shakti, Chetana Rupam. Chit Shakti is always consciousness, it doesn't break. Jada Shakti breaks. And science is busy with this Jada Shakti. Jada Shakti. So, from there you can see that if you find that the mind which has come from the Chit Shakti is come from the Chit Shakti, and you realize that, in that situation you can see the mind is own, doesn't exist really. It's a force that has come from the Chit Shakti. This force has come from the Chit Shakti. And when you realize that mind is non-different from that Chit Shakti, actually what exists is Chit Shakti, not the mind. Not the mind. Such a person, Krishna is saying, for that person, Prakriti Purusha difference will go. So you see, when that happens, this Prakriti Purusha difference goes away at that time. It's quite, everything is too subtle, isn't it? You can see here that Shastram, Vedam is saying one thing. We are studying some rubbish in the college and university and all that, and we say this, we have got the truth, we have got the truth, we are jumping up and down, saying, what have we got? We haven't got anything. Whatever that has happened is Maya. That's what Krishna is saying here. That Chit Shakti Chetana Rupam Jada Shakti Jadalmiga. It is only Jada Shakti you can break up, which is dead matter. And all this mind, intelligence, ego, all belongs to this Jada Shakti, not Chit Shakti. From Chit Shakti, Chetana Rupam, Chit Shakti's nature is Chetana, consciousness. And that you don't break, it remains one all the time. And Jada Shakti, Jadalmiga. Jada Shakti you can keep on breaking as long as you like. As much as you like, and give a new name to it and identify in that way. Krishna is saying this. Uddhava asked a question. This Prakriti and Purusha, two things you said. Uddhava said. Krishna said they are not real. Only Prakriti Purusham, difference itself is wrong. That is what that verse is saying. Which one? Parasubhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi. In the 28th chapter. First verse. Two verses there. Parasubhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi. Vishwam ekalpakam pashyan prakritya purusha inacha. You are seeing it as Prakriti and Purusha, but it is only one. Krishna said that. Then he said, Parasubhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi. Sa ashubhrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada, he's saying. That because you have caught on to the false thing, jadam, therefore you have got this Purusha, Prakriti and so on and so forth. After that, further ajnanam, further avidya is this breaking up process into mind, buddhi, intelligence, ego, and then five material elements and then so on and so forth. All that praying. And that is what Krishna is saying. Krishna says these differences will all go when you understand that this thing called mind has come from the Chit Shakti, and Chit Shakti is what exists, not the mind. Existence of the mind itself, Krishna is saying that, but as long as the moment you have accepted the mind, the moment you have accepted the mind, then the problem has started. With the birth of the mind, Krishna says what happens is Drikka Drishyam comes. Is it not? That is understandable. That a seer comes and the object that's being seen happens. Drikka Drishyam happens. And once you have accepted that, then you cannot reject other things. What comes after that, isn't it? So, therefore you will see in the Upanishads also that the moment Tripudi goes away, Tripudi is this. What is that? That Drikka Drishyam, seer, the seen, and the process of seeing. Three things. Seer, and the object what you are seeing, and the process of seeing. If these three things goes away, you have come out of that separation. You get the point? That Drikka Drishyam. Drikka is the seer, one who is seeing. Drishyam is the seen, what is seen. And the process is of seeing. Three things, Tripudi. Drikka, Drishyam, and the process of seeing. All these three things goes away from a person. It's not happening in a person. In that situation, this falsity will go. This is falsity, Krishna is saying. And then you can see that Prakriti, Purusha, Vivekam also, separation also goes away. So, one who wants to keep his individuality, personality in other words, or wants to keep his ego going, Tripudi will not go. Tripudi will not go. Tripudi is connected to our ego. As long as ego is there, this Tripudi will be there. And with that Tripudi, mind will be there, intelligence will be there, and Mrityoho Mrityu Apnodi Naneva Pashyati. It says that death and fear of death, all these things will be along with that. So Krishna says, and when you have these various objects existing as mind, intelligence, ego, and so many other things, it is an illusion, Krishna says. It's a Brahman. And when that Brahman is there, you will feel there's a thing called a death, and you will see there's a thing called birth. You will see that this cycle of birth and death, everything existing. Till this Tribhudi goes away. Drikya Drishyam and the process of seeing. Because at that point, mind is there. When the mind is there, mind will recognize all these things. And actually there is only one vastu, Atma. Atma is the only thing that existing. Brahman, in other words. Or Chaitanyam, or the living force. And that is that Chaitanyam, or living force, or Brahman, or Atma, who is present inside me in the form of awareness, astitvam. That's all what exists. Everything else has come from in this way. That is what Krishna is saying in these verses. Actually, you have to read these words. These verses are saying about the variegatedness of the creation, how it has come about. Because Uddhava asked the question, how Prakriti has become like this? That's what the question was. And Uddhava recognized two things, Purusha and Prakriti, separately. Krishna is saying, no, there's no two things, there's only one thing, Purusha only. So Uddhava wanted to understand this connection, how Purusha and Prakriti work together like this. So Krishna is proving to Uddhava, Prakriti is not a real thing. Prakriti is something that is unreal, illusion that is. That's why it's called Maya, isn't it? And that Prakriti never exists for a person who has realized the truth. Prakriti doesn't exist. And in Prakriti, it can keep on breaking up into mind, intelligence, ego, senses, so on and so forth, all the other things, whatever we see. So that is what he is explaining in these verses. He is saying to him that, so, and if you want to understand these verses, then you, and when you get to 28th chapter, and when you see what Krishna is saying there, you can see all that makes sense based on these verses. Otherwise, when you read those verses, see what Krishna says there. Parasvabhava karmani na prashamsayet na grahayet vishwamekalpakam pashyan. This is after realization. Krishna is saying, a person who has realized the truth, what is his state? That's what Krishna is saying there. Vishwamekalpakam pashyan. For him only Atma exists. Prakriti doesn't exist. But Prakritya Purushe Nacha, it's all coming due to mind. Which one? Prakriti and Purusha itself is mind. Only when the mind is born, Prakriti and Purusha has born. Prakriti has born from that. Therefore, you should not glorify anybody. You should not criticize anyone. That is the Parasvabhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi sa ashubhrashyade sarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. He says, if you do that, other person's karmam or his svabhavam, then from his state of realization, he will fall. He's immediately fallen, he says. So you can see practically everyone is fallen in this world, isn't it? If you look at it that way, that's Ashubrashade Swartal Asatyam Abhinivyashada. And then he is giving examples to that. Taijase Nidrayabane Pindasto Nashta Chedana Mayam Prapnodi Mrithimva Tadva Nanarthadrik Puman. Again the same thing Krishna is saying, Nanarthadrik. Nanarthadrik means seeing this variation, variation, variation in everything. This is how our mind has made us into. It made us to think that everything is separate, separate, separate. Instead of feeling, everything is one. Their oneness is gone. And this nanarthadrak puman. Kim badram, kim abadram va, dvaidasya vastuna kiyat, vachoditam tadanardam, manasa dhyatam eva va. That is a very interesting verse. It says here that what is right, abadram, what is auspicious here? What is inauspicious here? He says, kim badram, kim abadram va. Because all these things are based on this duality, dvaidam. Dvaidasya vastuna kiyal. Then he says, Vachoditam tata anurdam manasodhyadam evava. Because it has all come due to your mind. All these things are coming to existence. Vachoditam, whatever you are saying or whatever you are doing, it's all a lie. Anurdam, anurdam means it's a lie. It's not reality, he's saying. Chaya pratyahvaya bhasam asandho pyarthakarina evam dehadeyo bhavam yachandhya mutyado bhayam. Pradibimbam, pradidhvani, rajasarpam. All of them, reflection is a false thing. Similarly, snake rope, that thing is also a fall. But it creates problem in spite of that. Similarly, although this body, mind, intelligence, all these things are false, they are all false. Evam dehadeyo bhavam is also false. Yachandhya mrityado bhayam. Till that adhyasam, adhyasam means identification with them, goes away, you have to suffer with them. That's what Krishna is saying there. Like that, that whole chapter. But coming back to that same thing again, the same thing what Krishna is explaining here. I think it's 9:30, so we'll have a break.
Chedo darpanam arjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvavanam shreyakaidava chandriga vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam Anandam budivardhanam pradipada purna mradaswadanam sarvapna svanam param vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam nam namakari bahuda dvija sarva shakti tatrarpida nemida smaranena kala edadrisham tam kripa bhagavan mamami durdaivame drishamiha janina anuragah Tranara Vishuni Jena, Tarorabi Saheshuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim, Kavidamba Jagadisha Kamae, Mamajan Mani Jan Mani Shri Bhavalan, Bhaktirahai Dugitwai, Ainandadanu Jagingaram, Padidamam Shame Bhavambudo, Krubayadama Pada Pangajastita Duli Sadrasham Vijindayam, Nayanam galadashudharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira pulagair nijidam gadavabhu tavannama grahane bhavishyadi yugayidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam shunyayidam jagat sarvam govinda virahename ashlishyava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karyoduva yadhatatava vidhatadulam manu Uddhavavacham, 34th verse, 22nd chapter. Tvatta paravrtha diyasya hrday karma bhi prabho uchavachan yatha dehan grhnandi visrjandhijam തന്മമാഖ്യാഹി ഗോവിന്ദ ദുർവിഭാവ്യമനാത്മഭി നഹ്യേതൽ പ്രായശോ ലോകേ വിദ്വാംസം സന്ധി വഞ്ചിതാഹ.
ഉദ്ധവ ഇസ് സെയിങ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ ദാറ്റ് ഹേ പ്രഭോ ഗോവിന്ദ, ഉദ്ധവ സെയ്സ് ത്വത്തഹ പരാവൃത്തധിയ സുഹൃദേഹി കർമ്മഭി ഉച്ചാവചാൻ ദേഹാൻ യഥാ ഗൃഹ്ണന്തി വിസൃജന്തി ച അനാത്മഭി ദുർവിഭാവ്യമേത മമ ആഖ്യാഹി.
He says to Krishna that those who have turned their attention away from you, that means those who are not listening to Krishna's instructions, and those who do not take spiritual life seriously, for them that means bahirmukhatvam, isn't it? Bahirmukhatvam means what? Attention in the world, not in the soul. Instead of attention being on the soul, attention in the world. Or who has taken their attention away from Krishna. Krishna means soul, Atma. Jnana Margam, you will say Atma. Bhakti Margam, you will say Krishna. That's all. That your attention has fallen away from the vastu inside, the truth inside. And for them, the only option is, according to their karma, they will have their karma vasana. And along with that, higher body, lower body, human bodies or animal bodies or plant or trees or whatever, higher bodies and lower bodies, they have to accept and leave. They have to take it and leave it. And Uddhava is asking, this system is difficult to understand how it works, this changing bodies business. Because Uddhava's point is, Atma is present everywhere, isn't it? He says here, if Atma is present everywhere, how this Atma, and Atma is also doesn't do anything, akarta it is, isn't it? Atma is akarta. Who is doing? Ego is doing everything. Ego is doing everything, isn't it? Self doesn't do anything. And when it is like that, Atma is like that, but still I am the doer comes. I am the doer comes. And action comes from the self. Action is coming. We are doing things. And birth and death is happening. That is what he is asking. That is what he is saying here. He Maya Vanchitaha Etad Vidvamsa Prayashaha Lokena Sandhi. Due to the influence of Maya, Uddhava is saying this, due to the influence of Maya, Maya has cheated them. And those who know the truth behind it, how these things are happening, practically there is none in this world. Uddhava is saying, practically there is nobody in this world who understands this whole thing. Nobody understands it really, isn't it? We are accepting birth and death as reality. We are accepting action, karma as reality. And along with that, all other, that we have to move from one planet to another according to our desires. We have to change this earthly planet also. Suppose you get a higher body in the heavenly planets, then you have to leave this earthly planet and go to higher planets. Or if you get a lower body due to sinful activities, then you may not have a human body here. You may have a body in the lower planetary system or another planet. So it is transmigrating from one body to another, one planet to another. Transmigration happens, isn't it? Transmigration of the soul is happening from one planet to another, one body to another. All this is happening there. And also Uddhava is saying here that they have to, these changes are happening. And though how this happens to the Atma, which is present everywhere. Which is present everywhere. Atma is present everywhere. And how does this thing happens in the Atma? So that is why Krishna is answering that. Main reason for that is Linga Sharira Adhyasam. That is the answer. The word used is Linga Shariram Adhyasam. Linga Sharira Adhyasam means, this is the same thing what is in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying, Linga Sharira means our subtle body.
Adhyasa means identification with that. In Atma, when the identification with the subtle body happens, all these things happen. Is it not? Subtle body means mind, intelligence, false ego and chittam, four things together. That is a subtle body. When our identification is with the subtle body, all these things begin with that. Which one? Birth and death. Transmigration of the soul from one body to another. That is birth and death. And then changing the bodies from one body to another body, higher body, lower body, all these things happens due to that. One planet to another, all due to the same thing. So Krishna's point is, this Linga Sharira Adhyasam, Shastram calls it as Linga Sharira. Linga Sharira means the subtle body. Adhyasam means identification with that. Due to that, everything can happen. Everything can happen. So the same thing is in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita also. Krishna mentions there, Atma na jayate, it doesn't take birth. Na mriyate, it doesn't die. Nayam mutva bhavido vanabhuya ajaha ajonityam shashadoyam puranam na hanyade hanyamane sharire. After saying everything about Atma, then Krishna is saying, jatasya hi dhruvo mrityo dhruvam janma mradasya cha. All that is when you are identifying with the subtle body. When you are with the Atma, you have na jayade, na mriyade, vakada jalanayam bhutva bhavido avinashidu tadvidhi. Everything applies to in the state when you are identifying with Atma. When you are identifying with the mind or the subtle body, ahankaram, false ego, then everything comes in. Rebirth, karmam, karma bhalam, bondage, liberation, and all other things can come. Why? Because you are identified with the subtle body. So that's what Krishna is saying here. Due to the Linga Sharira Adhyasam, Krishna calls it as Linga Sharira Adhyasam, anything can happen, he's saying here. And due to that, Linga Sharira Adhyasam is due to power of Maya also it happens.
Manak Karma Mayam Shri Bhagavanu Vacham, 36. Shri Bhagavanu Vacha Manak Karma Mayam Nranam Indriyai Panchame Riyutam Loga Logam Prayatanya Alma Tadanu Vartade Nranam Panchami Indriyehi Yudam Karma Mayam Mana Logat Logam Prayadi Anyaha Alma Tadanu Vartade.
The living entities, all living entities, which has got their five senses and their mind, which is full of karma vasana, which has got a very strong desire to engage in karma, that moves from one body to another. And Atma, although he is separate from the all these things, due to its identification with the subtle body, it goes along with it. It goes along with it. It goes along with it. That is how it happens, he says here. But actually, who is moving the subtle body? Is the one moving. And who does everything? Subtle body. Isn't it? Atma doesn't do anything. Subtle body is moving from one body to another. Subtle body is doing everything when it is within the body. All what the Atma does is, Atma, it appears as though Atma is present in all of that. Atma is present. He says here, because of Abheda Dhyasam. Abheda Dhyasam means that you are not able to separate your subtle body from the Atma. You feel this identification. Atma is feeling an identification with the subtle body. Therefore, it appears as though Atma is doing everything. Soul is doing everything. That is the problem Krishna is saying here. Adhyasam, adhyasam. Vedantam, that's what the word they use, adhyasam. Adhyasam means it has happened like that for all of us. An identification with the body, isn't it? In reality, Atma has no connection with the body. But in practical existence, we feel a strong identification with the body. And that is what is called adhyasam. So, and in the lingam deham, linga deham means linga shariram or linga deham, mind is the most important thing there. out of the four, mind, intelligence, ego and the chittam. Out of that, mind is the most important thing. And therefore, Krishna is saying, mana karmamayam nanam indriyai panjabir yudham loga logam prayatyanya alma tadanu vartade. Alma tadanu vartade, he is saying here. And it is here that Krishna is saying that he is going to talk about this in a little depth, this how this has happened. So for the mind leaves its last body and it joins another body, isn't it? Mind has left this. When the mind leaves this body, when we say linga shariram or subtle body, basically it refers to the mind. So mind will leave this body and mind will join another body. And how does that happen? That is what Krishna is explaining now. How the mind leaves one body and mind takes on to the another body. It is happening due to vismriti and smriti, forgetfulness and memory. That is the reason behind it. You see, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, from me comes knowledge, memory and forgetfulness. This memory and forgetfulness is kept there in us for this changing the body. In order to change the body, you need it. Because when the power of when you are have a strong memory, you are identifying. What is that memory? Memory means you are identifying with this body. When Krishna pulls back that memory, instead put that forgetfulness in us, everything is controlled by Antaryami from inside. That's what Krishna does. Antaryami, what it does is, when you are remembering yourself as this body, that means in your memory this body exists. Is it not? That's what identification means. In your memory this body exists. Suppose from your memory Krishna takes away that identification, which means if he has taken away your memory, what happens? Your connection with the body is finished. Then Krishna has to put in a new body into you. Suppose he has taken, forgetfulness means taking away that memory from in you about this body. Krishna takes away that memory from you and make you forgetful of this body. That is called death. When Krishna puts back the memory of another new body into you, that is called birth. That's what Krishna is explaining. Next verse. Krishna is not seeing the death and birth like the way we see. Completely different, isn't it? For us, what is birth and death? The doctor will come and put the stethoscope and check if he is breathing. If he is not breathing, we say he is dead. But how it happened? This is how it happened. Krishna is saying this. That this mind's connection with the body is based on this Antaryami's operation from inside. Antaryami from inside pulls your memory, pulls back, and that means you're forgetful of your body. You're forgetting your own body then. You lost your body. That's what has happened to Jadabharata, isn't it? Jadabharata, before he became the deer, when he saw the deer, he got attached to the deer and the thoughts of the deer became very, very strong inside. At one point, he started thinking he has lost that memory that he was Bharat Maharaj. Instead, because of that strong power of attachment, he started thinking, am I not that deer? See how that shift happened at one point. And then Prakriti says, yes, you can have the deer body. He gave the body of the deer to him. This is that how it happens. Krishna, that's what Krishna is explaining here. That you can see this example very easily in your own life if you look at it. Especially when you get older, your memory is getting weakened about everything. So you have to put extra effort to remember things. Isn't it? When you are young, you could remember many things. But when you get older, lot of things you can't remember. And then you may say something and somebody will say, you told us earlier like this. Then you will say, did I? I haven't said that. Then the argument starts. I never told you, saying that I said like this. You may have said, but you can't remember. Why? You lost interest in all the things. This memory forgetfulness operates like this all the time. For example, I had to catch a bus, and I know if I miss the bus, everything will get into trouble. All my plans will get upset for the day. All my plans will get upset for the day. I had a plan to go somewhere, to city, do so many businesses and come back for the day. And I had to catch a particular bus to get there on time, say 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, whatever it is. And then I've been thinking about all these things. And in my mind, I had this memory that 9 o'clock bus I should not miss. I've been thinking about all that very strongly. When that thought became very strong inside me, what happened was, I went to the bus stop and got into the bus, and I noticed I forgotten to take the money to buy the ticket. Why? Because when the thought of missing the bus became very strong in me, the thought of taking the wallet or money with me, I've forgotten. This is what happened. So this is how this knowledge and forgetfulness works. If any thought in you becomes very strong, another thought, which may be important, will go away from inside. That is how you forget things. And it is exactly on the same principle you change the body also. When a thought of another body took a very powerful place inside, the thought of your present identification with this body, you lose it. That means at one stage, Jadabharata's life is the best example. Jadabharata, Bharata Yogeshwara, in other words, is referred to. He was a king, wasn't he? Emperor Bharat. Went to Pulahashramam, Gandaki Nadi, where he was performing meditation. Up to all this time, he gave up everything, his identification with the king, emperor, palace and kingdom, everything he gave up, and he came to practice spiritual life. He sat there in the Gandaki River in the banks. Sitting there, he is meditation. He is performing Sandhyavandanam 3 times and he lives a proper spiritual life. Suddenly this deer comes in life, that baby deer. Our Bharata looked at the deer and felt compassion. Seeing that baby's fresh, newly born baby coming through the water, he stopped everything, picked up the baby deer and said, if I don't protect, who is going to protect this baby? Thinking like that, he took the baby deer and started looking after that. Due to looking after the baby, got attached to it. This is how it happened. See how careful we have to be. When you're looking after pets and all that, you have to be careful. You get attached to a dog, or sometimes you get attached to these crocodiles' pets. People are keeping all the snakes also. And they're saying, it's my pet. They get attached to it, feeding on time, every day. Exactly like Bharata did. So if you want to get a snake body, get a snake and look after the snake for the rest of the life. He should have known where to stop it, but he didn't do it. He could have protected the baby as a goodness, he should have done that. But beyond that, that's not his responsibility. That's not his responsibility. That is the person who was given the body, his responsibility to look after that. But instead what happened? Due to that, Satugunam inside can cause you this problem sometimes. Due to Satugunam he fell, and then in that process he got attached to that deer. And when what happened was, Bharata Maharshi, although he is called Bharata Maharshi, when he was sitting, he couldn't even chant anything, any holy name, or he couldn't do any spiritual sadhana. All the time he will look at the beauty of that baby deer. And the baby deer, because Krishna has given the body to it like that, and for its survival, it has been given certain loving features. Its eyes, beautiful eyes, and the spots on the body, beautiful looking, very beautiful spots on the body. And sometimes the baby deer, when Bharata was sitting there, the baby will come and rub its body on Bharata's body. And when it rubs, the smoothness of the deer's body, Bharata was experiencing. Sometimes it will look at Bharata in a very, which creates a feeling of compassion in Bharat in such a way. So little by little, like you get attached to so many different animals in this world, in this way. Sometimes people get attached to dogs like that. They are so attached to their dogs that you can see what can happen, the danger, that is what you have to be careful about. Danger is this, that without your knowledge, attachment will build up inside. And then what happened to Bharat? Bharat kept on, got attached, and afterwards all spiritual life gone, finished, no time looking after this deer, all the time getting food for the deer, bathing the deer, and make sure that the baby is always protected from other animals, and that's also his responsibility, and always thinking about the deer, looking at the deer, got attached to the deer. Attachment got so strong that at one point what happened was Bharat could not think about himself. He was thinking about the deer more than thinking about himself. So strong was the attachment. So at one point he could not come back to his own identity as Bharat, and he started seeing in that deer his identity. He started seeing, because of the attachment it has grown. That is what has happened. He forgot his identity, Vismriti, and he started remembering the deer's body more. So that form of the deer has cheated him. And that is what Krishna is saying in these verses. So who did this whole thing? His Linga Shariram. Whose Linga Shariram? Bharat's Linga Shariram. Linga Sharira Adhyasam, it is called. Bharat's Atma didn't do anything. Bharat's subtle body has done everything, all the damage, isn't it? His subtle body has done all the damage. Subtle body created the attachment. In subtle body, forgetfulness happened. In subtle body, memory has developed in the new form. So all the damages happened due to the subtle body. That is the point Krishna is explaining here. Your subtle body, Linga Sharira Dhyasam, has happened this. Dhyayan Mano Nuvishayan Drishtan Vanushrutan Atha Udyat Siddhat Karma Tandram Smriti Tadanusham Yadi. 37. Dhyayan Mano Nuvishayan Drishtan Vanushrutan Atha Udyat Siddhat Karma Tandram Smriti Tadanusham Yadi. കർമ്മതന്ത്രം മനദ്രഷ്ടാൻ അനുശ്രുതാൻ വാ വിഷയാൻ ധ്യായൻ അഥ ഉദ്യത് സീദത് ച ഭവതി തദനു സ്മൃതി ശാമ്യതി ച. ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ദർമ്മപ്രേരിത മനഃ, ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് മൈൻഡ് ഡ്യൂ ടു ഇറ്റ്സ് കർമ്മവാസന ഇൻസൈഡ്, ഡ്യൂ ടു ഇറ്റ്സ് കർമ്മം ബിഫോർ വാട്ട് ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ഡൺ, ആൻഡ് മൈൻഡ് is a product of that karma, what you have done in your life. If you have done a lot of sinful things in life, your mind will be created with those sinful vasanas inside. If the mind has done a lot of pious activities in life, your mind will be created with those pious vasanas there. So according to that mind, what has been created in that way, and that mind is listening and seeing things in this world, and different vishayam means sense objects, is appearing in the mind. Different sense objects are appearing in the mind, and the mind is meditating on that. And how these different sense objects have come? Because of the karma. Because of the karma, different vasanas have come. And whichever sense object was connected with that karma, that has come into your dhyanam, into your meditation. And due to that meditation, this attraction for different bodies developed. That means that wherever that particular sense gratification is happening, in that body it will appear as though you are entering into that body. And at that time, you are losing your previous body. See, in every body when we are present, in that body we have a particular state of consciousness, isn't it? Like in this body you have a particular state of consciousness. But as much as when you are changing the body, all that kind of consciousness what you had with this body is not there. Due to adhyasam, a certain kind of consciousness created by the body within us. So, that is that udyat siddhat karma tantram smriti stad anushamyadi. It is a karmam that is causing all these things, Krishna is saying. The karmam, karma tantram it is, karmam's technique. Because of the karmam that creates a vasana inside, accordingly that dhyanam develops inside, and accordingly the vishayam which you are engaged with, that will create, vishayam combined with the karma will create the dhyanam inside. Vishayam means the objects or kind of vyavaharam what you have been busy with. Along with that, the karma what you have done, they together create a particular kind of dhyanam, meditation inside your mind, and the mind keeps going along with that. That is, I say, udyasidat karma tantram smridista dhanishamyadi, he says. Therefore, we are helplessly go along with it. We have no choice there. And he says here, then, vishayam abhinivesena analpmanam yat smared punaha jandor vai kasya chitedor mrityu atyanda vismriti. Krishna comes back to the process of death, because Uddhava asked that question, how death happens, which we have spoken before also many times. The same thing again. Vishaya abhiniveshena na alpanam yat smaret punaha jandorvai kasya chidhedor mrityu atyanda vismrati. Vishaya abhiniveshena means that due to your excessive attachment, like Bharata, the deer's body. He got attracted by the deer body and he started seeing everything very beautiful with that deer body. It's the same thing. Any body, if you get attached, this will happen. Anybody. That is why Krishna is always saying, warning us, that attachment, careful where you are getting attached. To any body, if you get attached, this will happen. Vishaya abhiniveshena. And because if he got attached to another body, due to that, the jiva, alpmanam, na alpmanam yat smaret puna, he can't remember the old body. You remember about a new body, you forget your old body. All memory and forgetfulness. Due to memory only, you are existing in this body today. You are identifying with this body, that's your memory, isn't it? You are thinking, I am this body, that's your memory. One day, what happens is that you are not able to remember this body as yours anymore. That is called a death. And you started thinking, this is another body. You don't know that it will happen in such a way that you cannot anymore identify with this body. You can't identify with this body anymore. That's called a death. And you are able to identify with another body. That's called birth. That's another thing. Jandovai kasya chiddhedor mrityu atyanda vismriti. He says here, then jandosa atyanda vismriti eva mrityu bhavati. Then, so Krishna is concerned, your memory of past body, old body has gone, the memory of the new body has come. That is called death and birth. Not the way we say about death and birth and death. We say, oh, the breathing has stopped, so he is dead. He is moving, so he is born, he is life. This is how we say, isn't it? In the hospitals and as well as everywhere, at home also. When he is not moving his legs or hands, we say he is dead. And a newborn baby, if it's moving all its legs and hands and cries, we say, oh, he's life. Life has come. This is the blind man's vision. Blind man, ignorant person, sees this. That means 100% is ignorance everywhere. So Krishna is saying, no, if your identification with the old body has gone, you are dead. If your identification with the new body has come, you are born again. Vishaya abhiniveshena nalpmanam yat smaret puna jandor vai kasya chiddhedor mrityu atyanda vismriti. Atyanda vismriti, he is saying here. That atyanda vismriti means that in daily life, we get attached to people, isn't it? Different people you get attached to. That is, and then after a while that attachment goes. That is that is not too bad. If it comes, which has come, it will go. But in some case, that attachment when become beyond, you can't come back again from that. That means the attachment has driven to such an extent, it doesn't go away from inside, in your memory. It has become firmly established inside. If that has happened, Krishna says, then atyanta vismriti. Mutyu atyanta vismriti. That means this atyanta vismriti is when you lose your identity with this body once for all. That is what Krishna calls it as atyanta vismriti. And Krishna doesn't say the destruction of the body as death. He doesn't say. We say destruction of the body as death, isn't it? Krishna doesn't say destruction of the body as death. So, coming, explain that more, little bit more. He says here that that this cycle of birth and death, Krishna has spoken, that exists so long as the mind is there, isn't it? Who does all these things? The mind. Mind is the one which goes and identifies with something. Mind is the one which forgets something. Both mind is doing that. The subtle body, isn't it? So, but this understanding of the realized soul, only Atma exists, only Atma exists, or Brahman, or Chaitanyam, or the living force, that alone exists. And that is present inside me in the form of awareness. Atma, who alone exists, is present in all of us in the form of awareness. Awareness, isn't it? Bodham. In Bodham. In the form of Bodham. And Krishna is saying here, and that is the only reality. Everything else is changing. Mind is changing. Identification with the body is changing. Krishna is establishing this one fact that in you, so many changes are going on. But there is one vastu inside which doesn't change. What is that? This awareness. Astitva. Awareness. That is the one which doesn't change. And that is what yours. That's yours. That is your own property. Nobody can do anything about it. So, the same example, if you switch all the lights off and if you, there's complete darkness now, I am fully conscious of my existence, but others I may not. Because of the darkness I can't see. But my existence, I don't need the light. I am conscious of it all the time. So, the example they give here, one person done a meditation class. He was running a meditation class. About 60 people were there in that meditation class. And he told all of them that all of you should meditate with me. I'm going to sit in meditation, close my eyes, and I'll go into meditation. You should also do the same thing, like in the meditation courses and all, how they do that. So he said that you should only go into meditation like me, and I don't know when, how long I'll meditate, but I'll continue to remain in meditation, and when I wake up, you can also wake up. Get up, he said. So what he did was, he switched off the light and made the dark room, and for 2 years, he sat, two hours he sat there in meditation. And then he switched on the lights, and nobody got up. So he was very happy. And he put the lights on, and when he looked, there was nobody in the room. they were all gone. He couldn't. He himself said this. This was a statement from a yoga teacher. He said, this is how meditation will be. Then he told them all that you close your eyes and go into meditation. I'm going to meditation. And when he told them, and he switched the lights off for meditation. So because why switch the light off means, you know, when if you are conscious of others' presence, then it is difficult to focus, to meditate on something, isn't it? Suppose you are sitting. That is why yogis, they go to the forest and sit isolations. to free themselves from the presence of others. So what he did was, he said, I'll switch the lights off and we can all meditate. And he went into meditation. After a couple of hours, he switched on the lights and he looked, there was nobody in the room. All the 60 years disappeared. They couldn't meditate. They went away from here. But he didn't know that others have gone. Others have gone. Why is it like that? He was conscious that he is there, but he wasn't conscious that others have gone. So to know yourself, you don't need the light. But others, whether they are there or not, you need the light to see, isn't it? Or you have to touch them and find out if everybody is there. So one's own awareness, because it's coming from that where? From Alma. Alma. From where is it coming? From the Sat. Sat it is coming. Earlier we mentioned this Anandam aspect is the bliss, happiness, isn't it? Blissful nature is the Anandam aspect. The mind and the awareness is the Chit aspect. The knowledge is the Chit aspect. The awareness of your own existence is the Sat aspect. You see? So that is why Atma is addressed as Satchidanandam. Satta, Chitta and Anandam. The three aspects of Atma. Satta. Satta means I exist. Awareness. Bodham. Which can never go. Which will always be there. That comes from the Sat aspect of the Atma. Then Anandam aspect, that blissful nature, with the bliss that you are experiencing even in the Sushupti state, that happiness, that's coming from the bliss aspect of the Atma. And then from the Chit aspect, the knowledge comes of your existence, of awareness. The knowledge comes from that. This has got two aspects. One is the awareness aspect, and the other side is the eternity aspect. The eternity aspect of the awareness. The eternity aspect of the awareness comes from the Sat. The awareness itself comes from the Chit. You see? It's important to know. They are all subtle things, but it is important to know that no matter how much the scientists argue, Vedam has very strong arguments to defeat that. Which scientists accept all these things? Which scientists understand these things? What do they understand about this body? You have to ask that question, isn't it? What do they understand about us? All they understand is this body. To some extent about the mind and intelligence. And some this DNA, RNA and all that, whatever they are talking about. Something they talk about it. The rishis knew on a much, much deeper level. To tell us that this Satya Chitta Anandam is the nature of the soul, how deeper level they must have gone to find this out. Imagine that. That these three aspects of Satya Chitta Anandam. And to understand Krishna like that is the right understanding. Satchidanandam is Krishna. Ishwara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadradhar Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. It is Sarvakarana Karanam means it is from the Satya Chitta and Anandam everything has come, isn't it? The awareness has come first. And that is present in us in the form of Aham, Aham, Aham. All the time, ticking inside, showing His presence inside. Ahamasmi, Ahamasmi, Ahamasmi. All the time, Aham. I am there, I am there, I am there. Awareness, which never leaves. That awareness has come from the Chitsak potency. And the eternal nature of that awareness is comes from the Sat potency. And the blissful nature of the soul, which you are experiencing the Sushupti to some extent, to a very little extent, it is coming from the soul. Why? Because there is nothing coming from outside. And you are having experience of the happiness inside. That aspect of the bliss is coming from the Anandam potency of the soul. Therefore, soul is Satta, Chitta, Anandam. And that is the way to understand that. So, therefore, like we say here, that so this Anubhavam, Atma Anubhavam, which is referred to as Aham, that is what? That is Chit. That is Chit. Awareness is Chit. Everything else is Prakriti. If you take away this Satya Chitta Anandam from us, What remains is all prakriti. Mind is prakriti. Ego is prakriti. I is prakriti. And hearing is prakriti. And if you close your eyes, that things don't exist, isn't it? For example, I is something. And then we say, oh, that is real thing. It's only real if your eyes are open. If your eyes are closed, that's not real anymore, isn't it? So, only thing, this awareness that I am, that is not prakriti. That's not prakriti, isn't it? The personality, I am saying all the time, that's prakriti. That is prakriti. So, in reality, if you say like that, if you ask somebody, who are you? He says, I am so-and-so, I'm living in Lechmore Heath, and I give my address. All that is the guest is speaking. It's the guest who is saying this. It's not the real person. Real person can't say this. Real person, because that's all prakriti. It's all prakriti. And that means, why is he called a guest? Because in your field of experience is a guest. Who? This jiva is a guest there. Your personality, in other words, is a guest in your experience field. Experience field means Atma is a real one. And he has a field of experience. In there, you are accepted this guest, whom you call as the personality. I am, say, Dina Dhyatma, or whatever you call yourself, Peter or Paul or whatever. That's a guest you are accepting in your Anubhava Mandalam, in your experience field. He's not the real you. In your experience field, he's a guest there. He's a guest there. Because that personality whom you are saying as you is not there in the deep sleep, isn't it? It's not there in the deep sleep. He visits you in the vacant state, Jagrat Avastha. He visits you. That's what he is doing. He comes and visits you. And Sushupti, in deep sleep state, the guest is gone. Is it not? Think about it like that. That is Krishna's explanation to that. Krishna is saying that this so-called guest whom you are walking around saying, I am this, personality thing, is a guest actually. Because in the experience of the self, he is a guest. Temporarily, he's there. And he'll come and he'll go. He's only there in the vacant state, in the deep sleep state, he goes away. And you have to look into the gravity of this whole thing. You've got to give time to analyze all these things and understand yourself in that way. It's not subject to mind and intelligence. That's what Krishna is saying here. Practically what Krishna is saying is, all this experience is for Purusha. Prakriti has got what is known as pratiti. It is pratiti, it is. Pratiti means perception. So, this visiting guest, which is this personality or ego, is pratiti. He's not real. He's a guest and he's not real. The guest will stay with you only during the vacant state and in the dream state. When you go to deep sleep, the guest is gone. And it is that guest is running around in this world and saying, I am this, I am living in this address, and you have an address, telephone number, passport, everything is for the guest. So actually what you are doing is you are carrying the guest's passport and wandering around in this world. The guest's address, guest identities are what you are showing. Atma, the self, what address has he got? And what identity has he got? Nothing. Isn't it? Nothing he has got. This is the point Krishna is making here. It's a very deep subject, this is. That how we are cheating ourselves by identifying with the result of that identification Krishna is saying here. That vyaktitvam or personality is address, is identifying, is identifying. Is identification with the guest, due to the identification with the guest. So, and that is where we are giving all the importance. That means, for perception we are giving importance. Perception we are giving importance, and that is prakriti, and that is jadam. Personality is jadam, personality is prakriti. And that is why Krishna is saying here, what has happened is, in Atma, in the soul, prakriti came up, and prakriti lived for some time, and prakriti disappears. Prakriti disappears, and when anything develops, takes birth in the Atma, remains for some time, and finally disappears, that picture is called prakriti. That function that happens at that time is called prakriti. Chitrenya lokam, lokaha lokyam, vilokyata padam. What you are experiencing at that time is prakriti's experience. Everything. Everything is prakriti's experience. Whereas, we are talking about two things. One is perception, other one is experience. Perception is called pratiti. Experience is called anubhavam. They are two different things. In Atma, in the soul, there is only anubhavam. In the mind, there is only perception, pratiti. This we have to be very fundamental, it is, fundamental topic. That means, when you have a mind, whatever you are experiencing through the mind is all pratiti, perception it is. The world is a perception. Senses, what you are experiencing is perception. What you are perceiving is perception. But Atma inside has got only one thing. Only one thing Atma knows, and that is called anubhavam, experience. So in your experience of the Atma, mind is a perception. Every activity of the personality is a perception there. It is not in the anubhavam. So anubhavam is only for the Atma, perception is only for the mind. That is what Krishna is saying here. Similarly, Krishna is saying, because it is like that, Brahmam, anubhavam of Brahmam, anubhavam of Krishna, or anubhavam of Vishnu, or anubhavam of Shiva, all these things can happen only in Atma. It cannot happen in the mind. That is the conclusion. That means, experience of Krishna has to happen in the Atma. Experience of Shiva has to happen in the Atma. It cannot happen in the mind. In other words, whatever form it may be, suppose you are a devotee of Ganesh or you are a devotee of Sri Parvati Devi, and you have realized that form, you have realized that through your bhakti, you have reached that state of experience of Krishna, experience of Shiva, experience of Ganesh or experience whatever it may be. All that can only be experienced in Atma. It cannot be experienced in the mind. Cannot be experienced in the mind. So, Atma's presence inside is awareness, isn't it? Aham asmi, aham asmi, that aham or awareness is. So, practically, what Krishna is saying here is that experience what you have as aham, aham, aham inside, which is actually a manifestation of that presence of Krishna's presence inside. That is the real I. That is the real I. Not this personality I, which is visiting you and leaving you in the vacant state and dream state. Who visits you in the vacant state and dream state, and who leaves you in the deep sleep. So now it is clear that how duplicitous our dealings with the world is, isn't it? We are dealing in strict terms, in spiritual terms, all these identification with the body, personality, all these things are all false. All false. So when I say I am, I am, I am, you are also talking about this visiting personality, the guest. That's what you are talking about. And whereas awareness, if you say I am, I am, I am, that is your real personality. Your real identity is that. Real identity is that, and you cannot deny that. And that is why all these arguments have come, Krishna is saying here. Because of these two things, one the false guest personality and the other one the awareness, real personality. These two are existing in everybody and therefore all these arguments have come, Krishna is saying. And that is the word Krishna uses, Vaikarika Sargam. If you look into that verse, you will see there that, where did he say that? Earlier, he said, Vaikarika Sargam, he uses the word. Somewhere before, he used the word Vaikarika Sargam. Vaikarika Sargam means this.
Yeah. When Uddhava asked that question, 33. But somewhere before he spoke about this in a little different way. This chapter is like this, that here back and forth we have to go. Somewhere before he spoke about Vaikarika Sargam. 30th. What is in the previous chapter, was it?
No, same chapter.
Yeah, yours will be 30.
Yeah.
29. Yours will be 29.
Yeah, Vaikarika. Esha Vaikarika Sargo, that Vaikarika Sargam is this, what we have spoken. Vaikarika Sargam. That's the word Krishna is using. Vaikarika Sargam. That verse 30, isn't it?
30.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Vaikarika Sargam. Krishna calls that as Vaikarika Sargam. So, that Vaikarika Sargam, Krishna says, Mahatattvam, then from Mahatattvam come Ahamdattvam, Ahangaram, and then the Pancha Tanmatra, the five Tanmatras. All these things is Vaikarika Sargam. Why is it called Vaikarika Sargam? Do you understand what that means? Yes. Vaikarika means transformation. Vikaram. Vikaram means that that something has happened and it changed into this. In Mahatattvam, something has happened and it, there was a movement in the Mahatattvam, it changed into Ahantattvam, into Ahangaram. Similarly, there was change, Ahangaram split into three, Sattvikam, Rajasam, Tamasam. It was another change. And from Sattvikam, Ahangaram, and Rajasahangaram, and Tamasahangaram, mind, senses, and the body has come. These are all called Vigaram. So, because it is Vigaram, it is called Vaikarikam. Vaikarikam means that. Vaikarika Sargam, it's called. Sargam means creation. Creation in the form of this vikaram, it is happening. In the form of this vikaram, it's happening. That's what Krishna is saying like that. Mahatattvam, Ahankaram, Panchatanmatra, Tanmatras are all like that. And that Vaikarika Sargam is called Maya. It's called Maya or Srishti. And in the middle of all these things, a ego develops, Abhimanam. Then Abhimanam is the Ahantattvam. Abhimanam is the Ahantattvam. So this Maya comes from the Maya or Ahantattvam, comes from where? From there comes me, you, he, she, like this, all these variations comes from that, isn't it? And that's all called Tripudi. It's all called Tripudi. So, just like in the dream state, it came and it's forgotten. It's came and forgotten. So, in the dream state, you can see what's happening. What's happening in the dream state is that so many things appears in the dream state, but you are alone, isn't it? This is the beauty of the dream state.
How, say you had a dream of this room in the night. Nobody is there, but in your dream, everybody is there. Is it not? That you are able to see everyone very clearly in the dream, and you are also there, and you are seeing the whole room with everyone in the room, including you, and you are seeing that. See that? That's very funny, isn't it? That you are gone into the dream state and you are staying separate. Who is seeing this? You are seeing yourself. Say, for example, if I am dreaming, I am seeing me sitting here speaking through the mic and you are all sitting there listening. Whichever way that is, according to your dream, but I am seeing me at that time. I am seeing me at that time. This dream state is an indication of creation, is it not? To show to us, Krishna's dream is this world. It's only Krishna there. But for us, when we look at it, so many things here. So many things. So Krishna see here, then, when that dream goes away, what happens? Only you are there. Nobody else there. But when you were dreaming, everybody was there, wasn't it? What Krishna is saying here is that when you lose that tribhudi, when tribhudi goes away, that means seeing, the object of seeing and the process of seeing, that is called tribhudi, when that disappears, in a similar way, this dream also disappears, this world called the dream also disappears. And they give mentioned like this, that when you inquired about the ocean has come. Ocean has got waves in the ocean. Then there is a lot of foam and bubble in the ocean. And the waves are coming one after the other from the ocean. When you go deep into the ocean, you found out waves are also water. Ocean is also water. The foam that is, the bubbles that has come, and or the steam, whatever that has come, that is also water. Everything is water. That's the example they give to show that Atma alone exists. Everything else is transvigaram of water. Water, vigaram is all the other things. Which one? The waves, the bubbles, the foam, the steam, all these are vigaram of water. That means water has changed its form. In some different forms it's appearing, but it is water still, isn't it? It's still water. So that is that kind of changing the mahatattvam, ahamdattvam into various things is what Krishna is calling as vaikarika sargam. It's called esho vaikarika sargam. Krishna says, this vaikarika sargam means that. And when you look into the what is it made of, when you start looking into it very deeply, you'll see there that vastu is only one. Vastu is only one, Atma. So, from there you can see that all these are like a drama that has happened. It is continuously appearing, staying for some time, and then it disappears. Only thing is, the Chaitanyam or the living force, there is nothing is changing. In the living force there is no change, only in the drama the change is happening. And that is why Shastram says, actually there is no creation. Can you understand that statement now? Creation has no meaning. What is creation means? We give so much importance to creation, isn't it? What Krishna is saying there is, like in the Vaikarika Sargam happened in the dream, so many things have come and gone. Similarly, these are coming and gone, and you are inquiring about it. Actually, they don't exist, because in the dream also they don't exist. Waking state also they don't exist, because your mind has become very active and it has started going through the senses and the sense objects. Therefore, the world has become very real for you. Otherwise, world is not real. That is Krishna's point. That you can't take all that spiritual, the world existence, because this is all happened, as Krishna explained before, only Atma exists. Prakriti doesn't exist. Prakriti doesn't exist. And to inquire about this Prakriti, when it was created, when it's going to go, is asking, inquiring about Maya. You don't inquire about Maya, do you? Because if you have found out about Maya, then you have got the answer to all these questions. So Maya is not going to answer your questions, and therefore don't inquire about creation, because creation is Maya. If you are inquiring about creation, means you are inquiring about Maya. And that will be the biggest mistake, Krishna is saying. Because Atma, if you inquire, you will get somewhere. Maya, if you inquire, you will get nowhere. That's the problem. So Krishna is explaining to Uddhava, see it through the spiritual eye. Don't see it through your eyes of Maya. Maya will play this game all the time. How many years research is going on to find out about this creation? And where have they have created this, what, the latest thing, isn't it? That in Switzerland, through the tunnel business, God particle and all that, to find out the creation. Krishna will be laughing at us, seeing our avidya inside, the depth of avidya inside us, trying to find out how this creates. Krishna says, you are inquiring about Maya, something that doesn't exist. And after they have found out where this world is, they'll start inquiring about all what they have seen in the dream. They'll go after that to find out, how did I dream? Science, research and research and research going on all the time about how did this dream happen. Till now we haven't got any clue why dreams happen, isn't it? It comes, it goes in the morning. Only thing is, when you are in that dream world, you like to stay a little bit longer, if you don't disturb. But mostly we get disturbed and come out from that. And if it is a horrible dream, then you don't want to stay there. Similarly, this world also, Krishna's point is that why you are inquiring after all this? Therefore, creation has no meaning as far as Krishna is concerned. In the realized state, that's what you have to remember. In the ajnani state, you need an explanation for the creation. That is why all the explanation in the Bhagavadam and all the... In every Puranam there is a different explanation. Bible has one explanation. Quran has another explanation about the creation. And everybody is saying, mine is the correct one, yours is wrong. That's what's happening, isn't it? So, that is basically interesting side of these verses. So many nice things Krishna has spoken there. We'll open up our eyes to understand things better. If you ask why, because this is how you become spiritual rather than the materialistic nature. Materialism means what we are doing. We have to do is all the garbage we have got inside, we have to clean it up first and put it in this proper knowledge what Krishna has spoken. And then spiritual life goes in the right way. So it's 11 o'clock, we'll have some kirtan now. Yeah, we have half an hour.
Thank you. Thank you. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna.
Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram, Ram Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan.
Jaya Gauramitai, Jaya Gauramitai, Gauramitai, Jaya Gauramitai. Jaya Gauramitai, Jaya Gauramitai, Gauramitai, Jaya Gauramitai. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
All right.